Okay, today's daf is Kaf Tet. We're going to start on Kaf Chet Amabet around the middle of the daf. We saw yesterday a machloket Rav and Shmuel about, do we look at, if you leave an obstacle in Rashut HaRabim, and you say this is, and I'm sorry, and it's, right, so Rav says if you put an obstacle in Rashut HaRabim, of no sakino masa'o, it's, we're going to view that as your mamon, and it's not going to be bor, it's going to be shor. And Shmuel said that it's going to be bor. You're going to judge that as if it's bor. So now we have this case that we brought, this braita that says, right, okay. So Mati Rav Hoshaya, let's just start back. It's about the 10th line. V'nafal shama shor chamor shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim. Remember, what's the big nafkamina, whether we say it's shor or bor? That bor is patur from kelim, right? You're not chayav in niske kelim b'bor, at least according to the majority opinion. If you remember, there was one opinion that said that you are chayav in niske kelim b'bor. You remember that? Rabbi Yehuda said, remember the whole thing, if the shor falls in, he's carrying kelim on him? So the basic opinion was you're patur, but Rabbi Yehuda said you're chayav, so keep that in mind. So now it says, v'nafal shama shor v'lo chamor, shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim, right? V'nafal shama shor chamor is the pasuk. Now we have the drasha. Shor means shor not adam, chamor, chamor v'lo kelim. Mikan amru, nafal etelcho shor v'kelav v'nishtabru, chamor v'kelav v'nitkaru, chayav ala behema u'patur ala kelim. Then we said, ha'lamaza domet, la'avno sakino maso shenicham v'rushut arbin v'zikhan. So first they say, it's not lemaza domet, it's what's domet lezeh, right? And then they say, here comes the second important line. Therefore, lefichach, im itiach tzlochito be'even chayav. If he hits into, he knocks his plate, his dish, on a rock in Rashut HaRabim, you're chayav. So now they say, well, the reisha is kashel l'rav, and the seif is kashel l'shmuel. The reisha is kashel l'rav, because Rav said, it's midine, one second, avno sakino masa'o is midin shor, and the Reisha makes it sound like it's midin bor, because the Reisha says, right, that if it's avno sakino masa'o, you're going to be patur from kelim. Therefore, it must be a din of bor. If you're chayav in kelim, well, then it's going to be shor, right? Remember, Rav says it's shor. If it's shor, you're going to be chayav in kelim. And what did the Reisha say? The Reisha said, nafal shama shor o chamor, shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim. And what's this like? Thav no sakino maso. You're basically going to be patur for kelim.
And this is Rabbi Yehuda.
Ah, so wait, hold off. No, not, not that's not going to be Rabbi Yehuda. No, because no. Okay, let's get it straight. You're not yet. The Braita says you're patur for kelim. It can't be Rabbi Yehuda because it says you're patur from kelim. If you're patur, right? The Reisha of the Braita says that you're patur from kelim.
Only in a board.
In a boar. But what did they say is like a boar? Avno sakino masa'o. That's the example they bring.
Except that those
it's like a boar. What?
No sakino.
No. Okay, let me make it clear. I leave my evan sakino masam rishud arabim, and somebody trips over it, and it destroys their kelim. According to the Braita, you're patur. Because it says, limazit, right? What's dome lezeh, like boar, what we just said, shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim. What's like that? Have no sakino masa'o, that you leave in Rashut HaRabim and somebody trips over them and breaks their kli, you're going to be patur. So that's kasheh to Rav, because Rav says that if you leave your evan sakino masa'a, that's a din of shur, it's yours. Remember, notice it says of no sakino, it doesn't say, right? Okay, so now, it's your item. The second part says what? The exact opposite. If you knock over your tzlochit, right, you break it on a rock in Rashut HaRabim, what does it say? You're chayav. So what do you see here? Well, that's kasheh l'shmuel, because that makes it sound like it's a din of shur. Because if it's tiach tzlichuto, you're chayav. Well, if you're chayav in kelim, it must be midin shur, not midin bor. And that's going to be kasheh for Shmuel. Okay? You could also say that the Reisha and the Sefer seem to contradict each other, right? So now, how do they explain? Rav metaretz l'tameh, v'shmuel, right, Reisha kasha l'rav, v'sefer kasha l'shmuel. So then they say, well, v'litamech tikshelachi gufa kasha, right? You could say, exactly like I said, you could say the whole thing doesn't make any sense. The Reisha says, forget about Rav and Shmuel. The Reisha says you're patur from Kalim, and the Sefer says you're chayv mikbe Kalim. So now what do they answer? Reisha patur, right, so hagufa kasha, because reisha patur v'sefa chayav. So now, how are they going to explain? Ela rav mitaretz l'ta'ame, u'shmo mitaretz l'ta'ame. Each one explains l'shitatam. Rav mitaretz l'ta'ame, b'me dvarim amurim, kishehivkiran, avalohivkiran chayav. How does Rav explain it? The whole reisha, when it said you're patur from kelim, that's in a case where you were mafkir your item. You said, this is my evan, but I'm leaving it here. I'm not interested in it anymore. Then it becomes a din of bur. Okay? Rub, right? Then it can't be sure. It's not your mamon anymore. So then it moves into the category of bur. If I leave something in Rashid or Abim and I say, I'm not interested in this anymore, and I leave it right in the middle of the street, well, according to Rav, that's a din of bur. So then you'd be patur from kelim. And therefore comes the sefer to say, Avalohivkiran, it's one of those again. Add some words. If he wasn't mafkir, then he's chayav, and then he's chayav midin. Sure, because it's his property. Lefichach, and that's a lead in to the seifa. Lefichach, itiach tzlichut toba even chayav. Therefore, if you don't, if you're not mafkir, and then somebody knocks his dish onto their even, then you're going to the owner of the rock is going to be chayav. Okay, that's in the case where he's still the owner of the rock, and it becomes a din of shor. So that's the lead-in. Bor is going to be in a case where he was mafkir, and when he's not mafkir, it's going to be shor, and that's rav. How's Shmuel going to explain? Shmuel mataretz l'ta'amei. Remember, Shmuel thinks it's all midim bor, right? So hashta da'amart avno sakino masa'o kiboro dami. Now that we've established, according to me, right, this is how he reads it, that what's the Reisha saying? In Evan Sakinu Masa, right? Remember, it said, Ha lemazen, right? What's Yomel is there? Evan Sakinu Masa, meaning the bride is exactly coming to say my Shita, which is that those items are Chayav Midin Bor. Now, if that's the case, what's the Seifa then? Well, then, once we establish that it's like Bor, so the Rabbi Yehuda de Machayav al Niske Kalim Bebor, Lefichach Yitiach Tzuchotob Evan Chayav. And therefore, his lead into the safe is to say, well, therefore, since this is a din of bor, while it's true the kalim are p'turim, your patra for nezek that's done, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then you're going to be chayav. So the leficha chityach tzuchotob even is the fishitat Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? That's the lead in. It's hard to read either of these according to pshuto of the Braita, okay? But again, the Braita is difficult otherwise, so there's no other way to read it. I mean, maybe there's another way to read it, but you know, there's a struggle here. So either we say, sure, bor, depending on the situation, that's rav, or we say it's all bor, and it just depends whether you hold like Rabbi Yehuda or you hold like Chachamim about Nizkei Kelim b'bor. Amar Rabbi Elazar, now we're going to talk about this case, Yitiach Tzlichuto b'Evin. There's a few different ways this could happen. Rabbi Elazar comes and says, Lo shanu ela shenitkal b'Evin v'nishof b'Evin. It's a case where you both tripped over the Evin, and then, right, try to imagine this happening, okay? A person trips over the rock, and then his kli knocks, that he's holding in his hand, knocks exactly onto the rock. Or maybe the kli hit a rock and then smashed onto it. Okay, where the takala happened because of the rock, and the break happened because of the rock. Aval nitkal bekarka v'nishof be'even patur. But if you trip on the ground, this goes back to what we saw before about the ground, remember? So if you trip on the ground and then the rock breaks your kli, then you're patur. And this is going to be kiman dilo kirabi natan. Okay, what's Rabbi Natan? The Gemara doesn't tell us, but we saw this before and I'll remind you. We saw this machloket about if a shor pushes another shor into a bor. Do you remember? And there was a machloket tanakama Rabbi Natan about is the Baal HaShur fully responsible, or is it a shared responsibility of the shor and the owner of the boar? Okay, because here, right, if the shor hadn't pushed it, it never would have fallen into the boar. But if the boar wasn't there, it never would have gotten damaged as much by the push. So, Tanakhama there says, you're chayav, only the Baal HaShur is chayav. And therefore, if it's a shor tam, he only gets half the damages. If it's a shor muad, he'll get full damages. The Rabbi Natan says, it's joint. So how does it work? If it's a shor tam and he only pays, then he only, right, well, how does it work? If it's joint, then each one pays 50-50. So a shor tam's only going to have to pay 50% of his share. So he's only going to have to pay a quarter. The Baal HaBor then is going to have to make up the difference and pay the three quarters because it's a shared responsibility, okay? If it's a shor muad, then it's half-half. So what are we going to say here? If it's nitkal bekarka v'nishof be'evin, it's exactly that case where there's two things responsible. There's the karka, which nobody assumes responsibility for, right? And then there's the evin. So now, if you say like Rabbi Natan, right, that nitkal bekarka v'nishof be'evin patur, Rabbi Natan would hold what? If the karka is not responsible, right, then the evin has to make up, the bala evin has to make up for the loss of what the bala karka is not paying. Since there's no bala karka, well, the karka is not paying anything. So therefore, according to Rabbi Natan, what would happen? The bala evin would have to pay the full amount. Okay, just like the bala bor would have to pay the three quarters in the short time case. So therefore, they're going to say it's not like Rabbi Natan. Okay? Tov. Ika de Amre, some people say, though, that Rabbi Elazar actually said the opposite. Okay, right now we said that Rabbi Elazar said this is only the case in Dikab Evan and Nishof Evan, and then it would be Lo Kashita Rabbi Natan. Some people say that Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lo Tema Benitkab Evan and Nishof Evan, Hudiv Mechayev, Aval Nitkab Karka Benishof Evan Patur, don't say what we just suggested, Rabbi Elazar said. Ela Afilu Nitkab Karka Benishof Evan Chayav, and Kiman, who is this like? Rabbi Natan. Okay, here he says the exact opposite. Don't think that you're going to be pater if the ground was partially responsible. No, you're actually going to be chayav, and that's because we hold like Rabbi Natan, who says that when the balabor and the balashor share equal responsibility, and therefore, if the balashor is not paying, then the balabor has to make up for it. Same thing here. If the balakarka, which is nobody, is not going to pay, then the balash evan has to pay the whole thing. Okay, so it's a question about whether Rabbi Elazar claims that the Braita is according to Shita Rabbi Natan or Dafka not. Okay, now we have to go back to Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'mitkaven chayav. Okay, look back at the Mishnah for a minute. The bottom of Kavchet Amud Aleph. Nishbira kado b'rishud arbin b'uklakacha b'mayim oshalaka b'charsit or b'charaseha chayav. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'mitkaven chayav b'enu mitkaven patur. We said we have no idea what this is talking about. We're now going to see a few different interpretations. Hechi dami mitkaven. Okay, the first answer we're going to see is going to be rejected. Amar Rabba, b'mitkaven lahorida lamata miktefo. It means that if you were trying to move the kad off your shoulder and then it broke, then you're going to be chayav. But if you weren't mitkaven and you left it, let's say you were carrying it on your shoulders and it just randomly, you know, you tripped and fell, or it tripped off of you and fell, well, then you're not responsible. Okay, because why would we call that not responsible? It's like onus, right? So now, according to that, what will come out of this? The Rabbi Yehuda says it depends whether you moved the kad or you didn't move the kad, right? But then what's Tana Kama going to say? Obviously, remember, Tana Kama said you're chayav no matter what. He didn't distinguish mitkaven or eno mitkaven. So Abaye is going to say, Rabbi, according to what you're saying, that makes sense according to Rabbi Yehuda, but then Tana Kama, which is Rabbi Meir, doesn't make any sense. So Amar Le'abai, Michlal de Mechayev Rabbi Meir, Afilu Nifshira. Are you going to say that Rabbi Meir is Mechayev? If you're just holding this kind on your shoulder and somehow randomly it falls off your shoulder, how could you possibly be responsible for that? So Amar Le'im, no, I actually think it's true. Mechayev Haya Rabbi Meir, Afilu Aznabi Yado. Even if the handle is still in his hand, meaning he didn't move at all, and the kli just somehow randomly, you know, separates from the, you know, something crazy happens, you're chayav. So now, Gemara questions that. Abaye questions. Amai, anusu, v'ones rachmana patre. This goes back to what we were talking about the Shito yesterday. Even though we say adam lu'ad la'olam, is there a case of real ones where you'd be patur? So now, and this is where the Rashba got his Shita, where he said, really, even though adam lu'ad la'olam, he is patur from ones, when it's real ones. So now the Gemara says, ones rachmana patre. How do we know that people are patur for ones? And where do we learn this from? The classic case of ones, which is rape. Okay? What dichtiv la nara lo ta'ase davar. Okay, in the case where a nara murasa gets raped, so if she really was totally an unwilling partner and was forced into it, then nothing happens to her. Now v'chi tema hane mile le'inyan katla aval le'inyan nezikin chayav. Maybe you would distinguish between and say, well, when it comes to the death penalty, we're not going to give someone the death penalty if they're anus, but maybe we will be mechayev them in damages. If you remember yesterday, we talked about that the Drisha made a chiluk between damage to a person versus damage to a property when it comes to onus. But now they're suggesting something else, which is when it comes to punishing someone by death, well, we're not going to punish you by death if you, you know, the anaram or asa is a death case. But linya nizigin, if you cause damage, then we are going to make you chayav even in an onus case. That can't be either, because Vahatanya, there's a brayta that says, Nishbera kado velo sako, nafal gam lo velo hemido, Rabbi Meir mechayev behezekan, v'chachamim omrim patur midinei adam v'chayav bidinei shamayim. Okay, so far we're not getting to our answer yet. Okay, hold off. We have to read through this whole brayta until we get to the answer. Remember, what we're suggesting now is maybe le'inyan nezikin you be chayev in an ones case. Okay? So now, what's the case here? You break the kad, okay? And your kad breaks, in Rashid Arabim, and you leave the mess on the floor, and somebody gets hurt by it. Your gamal falls in Rashid Arabim, and you leave him on the ground, and someone trips over it, okay, or gets hurt by it. Rabbi Meir is mechayev behezekan, and chachamim say, patur midinei adam, chayav midinei shamayim. So according to Rabbi Meir, chayav, according to chachamim, you're patur. We're going to get into this case a lot in the next, throughout this daf. But we're not yet. Let's try to figure out why we're here, okay? So, and then we'll get back to this case. Umodim chachamim leRabbi Meir. Chachamim agree with Rabbi Meir in this case. In which case, bavno sakino masao shenicham birosh gago v'naflu beruach mitzuya viziko shehu chayav. Chachamim agree, though, that if you forget about leaving something in the middle of the street, if you left something on a roof, which is bound to be blown off by a typical wind, if a typical wind could blow it off, and they actually do get blown off by a typical wind, you're going to be chayav. So even though they said you're patur midinei adam and only chayav midinei shamayim, therefore, we're going to say, by the way, some people explain chayav midinei shamayim means that the Beit Din can tell him you should pay the money, but if he doesn't, they can't force him. Okay? In other words, you're patur in the sense that if you don't pay the money, the Beit Din can't force you to pay it, but they can suggest it and say you did something wrong and you should pay the guy the money. They have no power to enforce it. Only God can enforce it, basically. Everyone agrees in a case where you left it on the roof and it blew off by a typical wind that you're responsible, because leaving something on a roof that could, you know, fall off and fall onto someone is a big, you know, is worse than leaving it in the middle of Rashid Arabim. Because right, think about it, Rashid Arabim, well, other people should be looking where they're going. Whereas when it's on a roof and something comes flying and hits you in the head, well, there's no way you could have anticipated that happening. You know, the person on the ground. So therefore, we're going to make him chayav. And here comes our line that's important for our purposes. Remember, we want to show that ones rachmana patre, right? Even in a nizikin case. Umode Rabbi Meir l'rabanan b'ma'alek hankanim al agag amanat l'nagvan. Rabbi Meir agrees with Rabbanan and is going to patre. Okay, here we're going to see. Ones rachmana patre, even according to Rabbi Meir. What's the situation? If you bring these jugs onto the roof to dry them off, because remember, that was where they dried everything on their roofs. That's where they dried their dates and everything else. V'naflu b'ruach she'ena mitzuya, and a tornado comes and blows them off your roof. V'hiziku shu patur. So here you see that's real onus, because a tornado was not an expected type of damage, danger. And therefore, even Rabbi Meir agrees that you're patur. So comes Abaye and he says, how could you say that Rav is mechayev in an ones case? In the case of if you were carrying the jug and just somehow it falls off of you without you having moved it at all. Therefore, what does he say? You're patur, and therefore that can't be mitkaven, can't be you were mitkaven lahoriv miktefo, because then Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah would make no sense. Ela amar Abaye, so now comes Abaye's explanation. Bitarte plige. There's actually two things going on in this braita. Okay, so now I have to remind you, what was the bright? In the Mishnah. So in the Mishnah, we had this Nishbarak Kado Bereshit Arabim, right? I'm sorry, one second. Right, in the case of the Nishbarak Kado Bereshit Arabim, Bukhlaka Chabamayim, Oshalaka Bachar Seha, there's two things going on. Okay? Bitarte Pligi. Pligi b'shat nefila, upligi la'achar nefila. I promise you we get to this, right? So what's the case? They're cholek in two situations. One is, what happens when you trip and fall, and your kli falls, right? Your kad breaks, and as it's falling, it hits somebody, okay? And they're also pligi la'achar nefila. And then after it falls, you don't pick up the pieces, and then it damages someone. Okay, so there's two shlavim going on, and on both of them they have a machloket, but each machloket is based on something different. Okay, there's different, it looks like one mission is what Abaye is saying, but it's really two things going on here. So what's the machloket now? Pligi b'shat nefila, what's the machloket when it comes to shat nefila? B'nitzkal poshea, Okay, those who go to the Tuesday class, this is exactly what we talked about. Are you considered, if you slip and fall, or something slips out of your hand and falls, does that mean that you did something in, are you like, is it like pshia, that you were negligent? Or do we say, no, it was an accident, right? So this is all about clumsiness, right? How intentional is clumsiness, right? When something spills, you say, I didn't do, you know, it wasn't my fault, but you should have been careful, you know, not to knock it over. Be careful how you act. So all accidents, right? It's a good question, exactly where they fall, and that's the machlokes. So how does this work? Mar savar nitkal posheahu. So Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah says you're always chayav, right? So what's he going to say? Why are you chayav? Because nitkal is poshea. Umar savar, Rabbi Yehuda says, nitkal is lav poshea. And therefore, it's going to be a matter of, were you mitkaven or were you not mitkaven? Now, what do you think kavana is according to this? Remember last time we said kavana is kavana to move it lower, you know, move it off your shoulder. What's kavana according to this? Did you have kavana to break it or did you not have kavana to break it? Okay? So that's nitkal posheh or lav posheh. So he says, if you didn't have kavana, well then you're not a posheh and you're going to be patur. Upligila achar nafila. So now once it falls, what's going to be the issue now? Well, do you assume, say it's not mine anymore? You're mafkir or not mafkir? And what if you're mafkir? Are you chayav or not chayav? Okay, so now the machloket's going to be b'mapkir nizakav. The kad breaks, it falls, it smashes all over the floor. Okay, you're all upset that you broke your kad, you know, and you just walk off like in a whatever and say, oh, and you right in a huff, and you leave your kad, and you obviously aren't going back for it. You have no interest in it anymore, and you're just frustrated. And you walk away. So, how do we view this thing that you left in Rashid Arabin? So, mar savar mapkir nizakar chayat, umar savar patur. Now, why does one hold your chayav and one hold your patur? This goes back to a basic difference between bor and the Torah. What is bor in the Torah? Is bor in a Torah, okay, according to the one who says mafkir nechasav chayav, which would be Rabbi Meir, remember Rabbi Meir is mechayav in this case, he holds that bor in the Torah, the classic case, is a bor that you dug in Rashid Arabim and left it there, out in the open in Rashid Arabim, okay? And then, if you're not mafkir, I'm sorry, right, sorry, right, a bor is something that you dug in Rashid Arabim and then you leave it. You say, I'm not interested in this anymore. That's your classic case of bor. And that fits in with what we said before also about if it's yours, well, then it's going to be sure. If you're mafkir it, then it's going to be bor. So that would be Rabbi Meir Shita. He thinks that that's if you're mafkir something in Rashid Arabim, that is bor. And therefore, mafkir nechasav, you leave these shvarim in the middle of the street, obviously you're going to be chayav. Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold your patur. Why does he hold your patur? Because he says that a boar in the Torah is a boar that has owners. So what would the classic case, according to him, be? You take a boar, you dig it in your property, and then what do? You say, you know what? This part of my property is going to become part of Rashid Arabim. For whatever reason, like we saw the case the other day where he allows people to walk through this part of his property because he doesn't want people to walk through another part of his property. So he opens this space into Rashid Arabim, but he doesn't give up ownership on the boar that's sitting in that property. Okay? And therefore, he still owns the boar, but he doesn't own the property that it's on. And that's what he thinks the classic case of boar in the Torah is. And therefore, if you're mafkir nechasav, well, that's not boar. Boar is only when you still have ownership over the item. That's what he would hold. And therefore, mafkir nechasav is going to be patur. Okay? So this stuff you left in Rashid Arabim is going to be patur. Okay, this is the way we're understanding it now according to Abaye. So now what's happening is there's two machlokot going on. Even though the Mishnah seems pretty simple, like it's one issue, right? There's two things. One is as it's on its way down, and that's going to be a machloket. Is it having an accident? Are you considered a posheh or not a posheh? And the other is going to be once it's on the ground, and you're mafkir, and say, I don't want this anymore. Well, do we still hold you responsible for it, midin bor, or is that not din bor?
What about the thing that we learned that once you release it, it's considered broken even before it breaks.
If you gave up on the other way down. Yeah.
That once, and therefore that whole argument.
Right, mana tavira tavar.
Baseball bat in between, he's not chayav because it was already broken. He broke something broken because it already became broken.
So how would that come into play here, though? Because as it's on its way down, we're not talking about the damage for the kli. We're talking about the damage it does to somebody else. As it's falling, it falls on somebody else and it hits them. We're not talking about the damage done to the kli that breaks. We're talking about the damage done to somebody else who the hits into this kli, what it does, not what happens to that kli itself. Okay, so now Gemara says, Umimai mitikatane tarte uchlakacha b'mayim o shalakha b'charsit hainuhach. It says two things here. It says uchlakacha b'mayim o shalakha b'charaseha, we'll call it, because it makes more sense to say that. These both are the same things. Why does it need to say two things? Elalav hachika amar uchlakacha b'mayim b'shat nefila o shalakha b'charaseha l'achar nefila. Okay, so now they're going to say this exactly proves a bias point. Even though I said this seems very simple, it's giving one case. Now they're saying no. Well, the reason it gave two different cases is because one is to say huchlakacha b'mayim is as it's on its way down, and the other one is to say shalakah b'charasa after they already fell. Okay, so therefore he's going to say that that's why there's two cases, to show that it's really talking about two different things. Now they're going to say, well, umi dematnitim b'tarte b'raitanami b'tarte. If you're going to say that this Mishnah is talking about a machloket between them in two areas, then remember we brought this case about the malek kankanim alagag, right? If you put the kankanim alagag and they fill in the ruach mitzuya, so we should say that that's also, they're arguing about two things. So bishlama kado mishkachala o bishat nefila o la'achar nefila. So remember, there were two cases there. There was the kad case, where you put the kankanim on your roof, they fall in a ruach shein mitzuya, so you could have, again, the case where they fall and they hit derech nefila. Or you could have the case where, once they're already on the ground, and he was mafkir. But the other case about the gamal, remember there was the gamal fell? So, ela gamlo, bishlama la'achar nefila mishkachala b'mafkir nivlato. We could see after it fell down, so you say, oh, a mafkir has nevela, I'm not interested in this dead camel. Ela bishat nefila hechi mishkachala, but what's going to be a case that it damages as it's falling? So, and what they're really struggling with is not that an animal couldn't hurt someone on the way down. What it's saying is, how could you have a case of nitkal? What was the first machloket? In other words, in the second machloket, the issue is if you're mafkir something, or should or beam, are you responsible or not? What was the first machloket? If you have an accident and you fall and trip, then what do we say? You're pusher or not pusher? That's the machloket. In this case, your camel fell, not you. So how does your act, nitkal posher, as an issue of adam? Mm-hmm. Do we call an adam who has an accident a posher or not a posher? Here your animal fell. What does that have to do with you? Right? When it comes to the kankanim, so you put the kankanim up there and they blew up in the wind. That's your fault. Because an accident happens.
You can imagine lots of situations where the owner is responsible for the way the camel behaves or what happens. Or you've overloaded it.
Yes, yeah. So that's what the Gemara is going to answer. So Amar Rav Acha, kigon de Avra b'maya derech sarata dinahara. You went, okay, so a few different interpretations, but it sounds like you went right next to where the water overflows. You took him over there, or you took him through water where he couldn't see the ground. You took him in a place where it was likely that he was going to fall. So now they're going to say, well, even that, though, hechidami, idi'i kadracha achrina, if there's some other way to go, well, then, poshehu. Then clearly he's poshehu, and everyone's going to agree. Remember, we have to find a case where there's a machloket, because nitzkal is poshehu or not poshehu. In that case, he's clearly poshehu. Everyone will agree if you took him to a dangerous place where you could have gone some other way. And idi'i kadracha achrina, this goes back to what we said about, you know, mimalei rishud arvin kulo chaviyot. If he had no other way to go, well, then anusu. And it's not his fault, and no one will think he's responsible. So what do they say? What happened? You tripped, and then you caused your animal to trip because you tripped. So it was chain effect. So now that's what they're going to say the case is, and that's how you can have a case of the gamal being a nitkal poshea or la poshea. Umachluk. Mafkir nezakav. My mitkaven ika. So now we want to know what's this issue. If you remember now, we had the mafkir nechasav. We said the second part of this bright, of the Mishnah, and also the bright. So there's two machlokot. Remember, what's the machloket? Rabbi Meir says you're chayav. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends whether or not you're mitkaven or not mitkaven. So when it comes to mafkir nezakav, remember what did we say? Mafkir nezakav according to Rabbi Meir, you're going to be chayav. And mafkir nezakav according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be patur. But then remember, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? If you're mitkaven, you're chayav. If you're not mitkaven, you're patur. So what does mitkaven have anything to do with this? So my mitkaven ika, am Rav Yosef b'mitkaven lezakot b'charaseha. V'chein am Rav Ashi b'mitkaven lezakot b'charaseha. It means that you're mitkaven to be zoche in the charasim. Meaning, if you're mitkaven to keep the charasim and you say, oh, I want to go pick them up soon, and you didn't yet pick them up, well then, you're not mafkir, and then you're going to be chayav. If you're mafkir though, you're going to be patur. Because he holds mafkir nezakav is patur. Okay, so therefore, mitkaven means...
What's the distinction between mitkaven and mafkir?
There's no distinction. What they're trying to say is, that's the whole idea. Abai is explaining that that's the machloket, is it mafkir or not, he's reading into the words mitkaven as mafkir or not. Exactly. That's what they have to do in order to explain this. So that's what they do in order to explain it. So that's... Okay, so we had Rabba, let me just review, who said the idea was mitkaven lahoridom miktefo, and then we said, well, according to that, Rabbi Meir will be mechayev an onus, and it can't possibly be, which obviously is going to support those who say that Adam is really not chayav an onus, right? What those who say Adam is always chayav, even an onus, how they deal with the sugya is a question. Then we're going to say Abaye has the approach that there's two machlokot going on at the same time. One is nitkal posher or lav posher, which means mitkaven is going to be he intended to break the kli or not, right? If he didn't intend to break the kli, well then it's nitkal and then he's patur. And then the second thing is after it already fell, was he mitkaven to keep the charasim, in which case he's going to be chayav, but if he wasn't, then he's patur. And according to Rabbi Meir, even if he's mafkir the nechasim, he's going to be chayav. Okay, that's the machlokot. Now we're going to see another reading, which in the end, I'll already give away the punchline, is going to end up being the same as Abaye. Okay, it's going to look different, but then they're going to say it's the same. And then we're going to actually see an alternate reading of the machloket. Rabbi Elazar amar, bishat nefila machloket, aval achar nefila, bishat nefila machloket, period. Rabbi Elazar says the machloket is bishat nefila. So what does that sound like? It sounds like only half of Abaye, right? It sounds like he's saying they're only cholek bishat nefila as it's falling, but not... La'achar nefila. So then they say, well, aval la'achar nefila mai. So what's going to be la'achar nefila then? Divrei hakol patur, you're going to say everyone, if the machloket's la'achar nefila, bishat nefila, then you're going to assume that they both agree la'achar nefila. So if they both agree la'achar nefila, there's going to be one of two options. They both agree that if you leave them on the floor, you're chayav, or they both agree that if you leave them on the floor, you're patur. So now the Gemara is going to say neither one works, because... Right? If you say Divrei HaKol is patur, va'ika Rabbi Meir de Mechayev, we know that Rabbi Meir is Mechayev. Elamai, Divrei HaKol Chayav, ha'ika Rabbanan de Patre. And as we know, there's a machloka Rabbi Meir Rabbanan about this. So you can't possibly say that they're only arguing in that case. So therefore, when Rabbi Elazar said, Bishat Nefila Machloka, what did he mean? Elamai Bishat Nefila? Af Bishat Nefila. V'kamash malan kid Abaye. He was just saying that even Bishat Nefila, and he was trying to teach the same things Abaye was teaching. Okay. Now we're up to the fourth reading. Okay, so the third was the same as the second, it just didn't sound like it. Now we're going to have the opposite of what Rabbi Elazar just said, which is Rabbi Yochanan Amar La'achar Nefila Machloket. The Machloket only after Nefila. Now we're going to have the same problem, right? Aval b'shat nefila mai, divrei hakol patur. You're going to say, as it's falling, everyone thinks you're patur. V'ha, this can't possibly be, because midika'ama Rabbi Yochanan lekama. Rabbi Yochanan says further on in the Masechet, lo tema matnitim Rabbi Meir hi. Da'amar nitkal poshehu. You can't say that our mission is Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds the nitkal is poshea. So from here, what can you infer? Michlav, that b'shat nefila, what would happen to Rabbi Meir would be mechayev. So you can't say that Divrei HaKol is patur b'shat nefila, right? Remember, he said la'achar nefila machloket. And the presumption would be that before nefila, everyone agrees. But that can't possibly be, because we know that he himself says that Rabbi Meir holds nitkal as poshea, which means that they would disagree. Elamai, Divrei HaKol chayav, maybe you think that everyone agrees with Rabbi Meir that nitkal as poshea? But that can't be, because also, what did he say? V'hami dekam Rabbi Yochanan lekaman lo tema manitim Rabbi Meir hi. You can't say it's Rabbi Meir. Da'amar nitkal poshehu. So what can you infer from there? Michlal de patre Rabbanan. It means that Rabbanan disagree with him, right? And they think nitkal is lav poshea. Therefore, it can't be. So it has to be that they also argue bishat nefila. So what does it mean when he says la'achar nefila machloket? This is very interesting. Ha kamash malan. Now, this is something you really have to think about. He's saying now that dafka in the case of our Mishnah, There's two different ways you could be mafkir nizakav. You could walk into Rashid Arabim, take your rock, stick it in the middle of the street, walk away and say, I don't want this to be mine. Then, that's called mafkir nizakav da'alma. For sure you're going to be chayav in that case. Everyone's going to agree. But if you walk on the street, you trip and fall, and your car breaks, and you walk away, well, since an accident caused you to fall, and it wasn't that you intentionally left your stuff on the ground, then we're going to potter you from the nizakim caused there. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, according to Rabbi Yochanan. That's what the machloket is about. The machloket is about la'achar nafila, and what's he saying? The mafkir nizakav is not going to always be patur. It's only patur in a case where it was an accident that caused the stuff to be in the middle of Rashid Arabim.
What if it just fell? And you didn't, that is, why is the tripping?
Even if you didn't fall, if it fell, okay. Anyway it falls. In other words, if it was caused by an accident that you dropped it, okay? Then, now you have to, the logic of this eludes me a little bit because it's true, it was an accident that caused it, but at that moment the accident's over and you should be responsible, you should be able to see further ahead what might happen from the damage that you're leaving in the middle of the street, and you should have to pick it up. So why we're pottering you, right? What's interesting here is, so his mitkaven and eino mitkaven is, were you mitkaven to leave the item in Rashid Arabim, or did it happen as a result of some sort of accident? If it happens as a result of an accident, we're not going to make you responsible. And then, either, again, they're trying to say it's always a balance between who's more responsible, right? So if you put it there intentionally, well, then you're responsible. If you didn't mean for it to happen, well, then we're going to excuse you and cause the other person to be more responsible. He should watch where he's going.
We would never teach our children not to pick up what fell.
Exactly. That's why I said the logic of this is difficult.
Think of a car that breaks down in a certain place and it's interfering. Then you put a triangle out because...
Right, but what if you didn't put a triangle out?
So then it's into
the... Right, but here this is saying if you got into a car accident and you walked away and then some guy crashes into your car because it was in the middle of the highway and you didn't move it, you're responsible. I'm sorry, you're not responsible. Exactly, and how could you say you're not responsible?
What if it fell and you realized later and you decide, well, I'm not going to go back for it? So in retro, there wasn't actually an accident, and you know it's somewhere, but you're not, are you responsible for going back to look for it and to get it out of the way?
Right. So the question is also...
If you don't care, then it's not even yours to go back for.
Right. So the question also is, did you have enough time to... You know, there's also the time lapse. In other words, even if we're going to make you responsible, there obviously has to be... If it happened the second it happened and you didn't even have enough time, then everyone would agree that you're not responsible. Right. Here we're talking about that you had enough time. Let's say you got hurt from the fall. And then, you know, you need to deal with your own stuff first. And then, you know, but still, at a certain point, you have to go back and collect your garbage. So it's a very interesting shita that he has, which is basically that mafkir nizakav nechasav depends on whether it was caused by something intentional or not caused by anything intentional. So I think there's a lot more to think about here, why he really thinks you're putter. It's definitely a unique shita. Okay. Itmar. Mafkir nizakav, Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Elazar. Chad amar chayav v'chad amar patur. Now we're going to see that there's a machloket in general about mafkir nizakav between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, the two characters we saw before. Chad amar chayav v'chad amar patur. So the first obvious thing to say is, well, didn't we say, according to Abaye anyway, that that's the whole machloket between them, is mafkir nizakav between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So now they're going to say, Lema manda mechayev k'Rabbi Meir umanda patar k'Rabbanan. Okay, they call Rabbi Yehuda also Rabbanan. In other words, depending on, sometimes he appears as Shitat Rabbanan, sometimes he appears as Shitat Rabbi Yehuda. So maybe we should say, and as right now we don't know who said what, and then we also don't know, do they match up, the fact that these Amoraim are saying it, do they each match up 100% with the Tanaitic opinions that also are on the subject? So the first thing we're going to do is say, do they match up with the Tanaitic opinions? The next thing we're going to do is say, who says... Let's see if we can figure out, was it Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Elazar from other statements they made, who holds what? So why don't we suggest the manda mechayev k'Rabbi Meir or manda patar k'Rabbanan? Which then, by the way, would be a question, because if that's the case, he should have just said halakha k'Rabbi Meir, halakha k'Rabbanan. So now what do they say? Remember who said what, right? Rabbi Meir said mafkir nizakav is chayav, that's why he is mechayev in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says patur, right? Only if you have kavanah. So now they say no. Aliba de Rabbi Meir kuleama lo pligi. What does it mean when they say that? They mean that the one who says chayav can easily say, yes, I hold like Rabbi Meir. But the one who says patur definitely can't answer up like Rabbi Meir. He can't. He obviously doesn't agree with Rabbi Meir. But ki pligi, you could say, though, that they're both arguing aliba de Rabbanan. In other words, what they're saying is you can't say that both of them read into Rabbi Meir and think that this is just, you know, someone have a machloket within Rabbi Meir. That for sure can't be. But they could both argue lefi Rabbanan. Because what could you say? Now, this goes back to what we just said about Rabbi Yochanan. Man de patar ke Rabbanan. The one who says you're patur holds very simply, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're patur. Mafkinas got patur. Uman de mechayev, the one who's mechayev would say, Amar lecha, ana de amre afilu le Rabbanan. I can even explain my shita that I say mafkirin is a kavas chayav lefi Rabbanan. How? Because I could say ad kan lo patre Rabbanan ela b'mafkirin is a kav dehacha mishum de anusu. Right? When did Chachamim say or Rabbi Yehuda say the mafkirin is a kavas patur only if it was ones that caused you to fall, right? And then leave your stuff. Avah b'mafkirin is a kav de alma mechayve. Right? But I think in general you'd be mechayev. Okay? So in other words, you could say that it's not the exact same machlok. So now we're going to say, Tistayim de Rabbi Elazar hu da'amar chayav. Okay? We can now assume that Rabbi Elazar is the one who says chayav. Why? Da'amar Rabbi Elazar mishum Rabbi Yishmael, shnei dvarim enam bershutan shel adam, v'asa'ana katuv ki'ilu hein bershuto, ve'elu hein bor bershut arbim, v'chametz mishay sha'ot ulamala. Okay? There's two things that aren't owned by someone, but we make it as if they're owned by someone. Okay, a boor in the middle of a shud or a beam, even though you say it's not mine, it's yours. You're responsible for it. And chametz, after shesha b'mala, right, you say, kochamir, they're not mine, but if you find it in your house, well, it's yours. So now, what can we say? Tistayim, we can therefore say that Rabbi Elazar holds a boor b'rushud or a beam, right, you're mafkir, but yet, right, it's as if it wasn't in your shud, we make it in your shud, so it must be he's the one who holds chayav. So now they say, but wait, Umi amar Rabbi Elazar hachi? Does he really say that? V'ha amar Rabbi Elazar ipcha. Rabbi Elazar actually says the exact opposite in some other place. Ditnan. It says in the Mishnah, ha'ofechet hagalal b'reshut harabim v'uzak b'hen acher chayav b'nizko. If you take, there's manure sitting in reshut harabim, okay? Horse manure, some sort of, maybe probably donkey in their days, right? There's donkey manure sitting there in reshut harabim. If you turn it over, meaning you somehow move it, okay, and someone else gets damaged by it, you're chayav for nizakim. Va'ama Rabbi Elazar, lo shanu ela shenitkaven lizakot behem. Aval lo nitkaven lizakot behem patur. What does he say? It's only if, when you picked it up, you intended to take this on to be yours. But if you didn't, and you were just flipping something in Rishit Arabim, you're going to be patur. So what can we infer from here? Ama mafkir nizakav patur. Therefore, we can assume that what's he saying, right? If you didn't intend to take this and you're makir, you move it, but yet you say this isn't mine, okay? Why? What you're doing, moving the manure in Rishit Arabim, I have no idea. But what?
Camel dung is used as fuel.
But he doesn't want to use it. He wants to be makir. So what's he doing with it, right? If you want to use it for something, yeah, I could see you might use it for something. But here he's makir. He turns it over and just leaves it there. Doesn't intend to have it. So what do you see? According to him, if you're not with Kavain, then you're going to be patur.
He's a good citizen moving it out of the street. That's all.
Right.
He's going to keep going. Like if you walk by trash.
But he's not moving it. He leaves it on the street, though. That's the problem.
This is not the same thing as someone being mafkir, because it's not his own.
Right. But the point is, so now we're going to get into this whole thing. We're going to actually stop here for today. But this whole thing leads into, if I move, let's say it was there. It was already a takala. Now I move it and I make it a takala somewhere else. So have I done anything? Okay? Is it like the case, they're going to already give you the preview to tomorrow, is it like the case where there was a boar that, and then you covered it and then you uncovered it? It wasn't your boar to begin with, but you covered the boar that was in Rishit Arbim and then you uncovered it. So did you basically create the takala, or was the takala already there? Now here, they're going to say that's not the same case. Why are they going to say it's not the same case? Because there the boar existed exactly in its form. Here, you move the takala to a different place. So it's more like, let's say, you filled up the boar and then kind of canceled out the boar, that it was now full of,
and then
right? And then you recreated the boar. So there's going to be a whole discussion about this, exactly what you did and why you're, you know, why you're responsible and not responsible. And the whole question is, why is he pater here if you're mafkir nezakav? So they're going to, in the end, say, and as what we have now, just to end you off exactly what we're up to, is we wanted to say Rabbi Elazar says mafkir nezakav is chayav. We now have this case with the manure that seems to imply mafkir nezakav is patur. We're going to have to explain the manure case, and it's talking about something else that doesn't really have to do exactly with mafkir nezakav. Okay? And then it's a different reason why he's poter here, where he would be mechayev in another case. And then what we're going to lead to is, well, then the conclusion from there is that Rabbi Yochanan says patur, and is that really true? Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say somewhere else that you're chayav? And we're going to have to analyze the conclusion about that. So a lot of different questions are going to be raised.